Welcome to the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics Leadership Journey Podcast.
This podcast aims to share leadership stories from our VMI Corps of Cadets and high-profile leaders who visit the Center for Leadership and Ethics and VMI Post. We're on this journey with you.
Hi, I'm Emily Coleman.
And I'm Derek Pinkham.
And we're your hosts for the podcast.
Our guest is Sean Mattson, VMI Class of 2005, co-founder and CEO of Mattbach, and the co-founder and president of Strike Force Beverage.
Sean spent 13 years as a Navy SEAL officer with multiple deployments in strategic locations.
We've spoke to Sean during the 2019 Business Leadership and Innovation Summit here at the center last April. And without further delay, we give you Sean Mattson. So my first question, I usually ask one right up, but I think I'm going to save that for the end. The first question I want to ask is, do you have any advice for cadets about their leadership development? What do you wish you knew as a college student or a cadet that you now want to know that would have helped you?
So I think, VMI from day one is building leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Citizen soldiers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the mission.
It's right out there on our
it's
wall,
a mission. Yeah. It's all over VMI. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I'm biased because I am a VMI alum. And, you know, I'd say that, you know, it's the best college in the world that does this, right? You know, from day one, you're immersed in this culture where you have someone who might be older than you and might be younger than you in your face, you know, telling you what to do. And you know, that's obviously a type of leadership, sure. You know, authoritative type, you know, and then as you go through your years at VMI, you get different leadership experiences. Now, they might not be big, some are bigger than others, right. Or whatever, but you have these opportunities to lead peers,
yeah.
And arguably probably the hardest leadership challenge you'll ever get to do is your peers, and you're leading these in situations where you might not know
right
what to do, but they're telling you, you're the leader, go do it. And so those are some of the most challenging times. So from day one, VMI is building that right away on you. So in terms of what I wish I would have had leaving VMI, mm-hmm. You know, going into, because it did a really great job of setting that foundation for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where I will tell you maybe I differed from others is I knew I wanted to go in the military.
Right.
So I took those opportunities. I went to go do cadre. Swam.
Right.
I tried to put myself into situations and force myself to learn, to fail. Okay, I've got to learn better, you know, ways to maybe communicate something to somebody or, you know, articulate my position so that that person now wants to do what I need them to do.
But you're so if I'm reading you right, so VMI put you in that right position to safely be able to do that.
It gives everybody that walks through, you know, the arch that ability. Mm-hmm. Now it's on the individual to take that and want to pursue through it. So, you know, again, the first day you could be set in this. Some people don't want leadership,
right?
Sure. Or they don't want that position. Fine, you know, that's that. We need those people just as much as we need leaders, because, you know, if you have too many leaders,
right, sure.
Too many cooks in the kitchen are just as bad as not having a leader at all.
Well, so there is a followership model. You learn how to follow first, for sure, and that journey will take you through VMI to some command position.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite question to ask is what are some practices as an effective leader that helped you on your journey? Any specific things that you do that get you in the right mindset, the right mode?
Simple. I treat people the way that I want to be treated. Whenever you're faced with trying to lead someone, usually you're trying to solve a problem with it. It usually kind of goes in synonymous with
right.
each other. So you're problem solving, and a part that could be a failure in leadership is immediately looking at the problem and saying, all right, you're to blame. Or, you know, like, no, forget that, right? Right now is not the time to the blame game. It's how do we solve this problem? Let's look at it. Let's dissect everything. Let's figure out how to solve this problem, move forward. Now then take that and, you know, the next step after you've solved that problem is come back and say, how do we mitigate this from happening again, right? So that's when you look at, not again, you're not trying to blame somebody, it's but like, how can we put steps in place, or how can we put a resource to something that eliminates or mitigates this from happening again from us so that we can continue to grow and build.
Right, so Professor Morris earlier today said the most important thing about entrepreneurship is process.
Right.
And it sounded like a little bit that's what you were talking about there.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, and as I said, I mean, typically as leaders, you're trying to solve a problem. Someone gives you something, says you're in charge X, and that could be, you know, getting everybody over a wall, or that could be how do we grow this company to X million dollars, or whatever that is.
Right.
But typically, it's, you know, those are synonymous with each other.
So you've led in the military, and you're leading now in business and civilian life. So how is that different?
It's different because maybe language.
Mm-hmm.
is probably the best way to put it. As a SEAL officer, mm-hmm. I led 100% males.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
So I only had that to deal with. Now, as I got a little bit, you know, more seniority and got more rank, there were opportunities, and I had positions where I had to do a mix of male and female. But for the most part, like my platoon, it's all males.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have enablers to help and other things to that piece of it.
Sure.
But And I had to obviously lead them as well. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I have a completely different language with my platoon than I did with enablers.
Right.
And it wasn't that I ever thought less of my enablers. In fact, I see them as equals, because we would never get out on a mission if the intel guy or the admin person or, you know, logistician or whoever it is doesn't help with their part to this.
It doesn't
work.
Right.
We don't go anywhere without a huge support staff
and
team to help us. So there are different languages that I had to do that I have in the military and in the civilian world.
Makes sense.
Now I will say the principles that I use, like, you know, and communicate to my guys, I was very much a hands-off leader. I'm a very, very much hands-off leader. I am not the one to tell you, okay, hey, you know, from 8 to 5, I want to see and break down your hour by hour. I trust enough that the person is going to use their time wisely. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it has a negative effect because some people can't handle that unstructured environment. And so I have to learn that. I learn it and keep learning it and have to, you know, kind of keep balance of those things. But, you know, I have and I communicate with both male and female outside of the military, you know, and that are part of my, you know, organizations now. Similar in the military, maybe not same tone or directiveness, but I hold them to the same standards that I did in the military,
right,
to guys.
Yeah,
so because I earned and I learned those kind of that piece of it from the military, and I know it, and it has translated very well into the civilian world for me to use those leadership styles and those things. It's just I might not be able to communicate in the same fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But
so it sounds to me like you're always still learning too. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. You have to continue. I mean, it's an ever evolving and every new relationship or new person you bring in, it changes the dynamic slightly.
Sure.
So you have to always keep in check with that.
Mm-hmm. So where do you draw inspiration as a leader?
This might, I don't know the best word for this, but I've always been in competition with myself. Mm-hmm. I always have been. I was a swimmer growing up. You know, I don't do anything to try to impress anybody. I don't try to do anything to, you know, show off. I'm trying to better myself. And so I'm always in competition with myself, and I am my hardest critic, obviously. I'm my worst enemy. because like this never stops. From 12 years old, I wanted to be a SEAL, uh-huh. right? Mm-hmm. VMI was never in that picture until ninth grade-ish time frame. When I met an alumni and he was like, hey, you should go to VMI. I was like, I don't even know what that school is. I want to be a SEAL. Like, yeah. where does that fit into this? Yeah. And he was like, well, it's a military school. As soon as someone was, you know, hey, you can't do that. That's you know, that's for me is that's all it takes, right? Because I'm going to show you I can do it. Because, again, that's my driving force is me. And how do I better myself and keep driving? I'm not at it to show someone else, hey, guess, look what I've done, or look at this. It's always to beat myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sort of a personal improvement model. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Appreciate that. Yeah, I usually ask this first, but I wanted to go to it to it last. But what does leadership mean to you? And how has your definition of leadership changed throughout your career? So, you know, starting here in VMI, going into military, and then being out in the private sector.
Well, I think you mentioned it earlier. You have to know how to follow someone first before you can ever try to lead somebody.
Right.
And that is a constant balance of
right.
how do you know when you need to follow someone,
right.
and how do you know then when you need to step in and need to lead that person.
Right.
And as a quote-unquote leader, mm-hmm. right, you have to do that without any hiccups and be able to switch that hat on and off. And
right.
again, VMI starts that and instills that into you day one because, mm-hmm. again, you're getting, you know, yelled at by cadre, right, RDC and all these other people. Mm-hmm. And then 2 seconds later, someone's telling you, you're in charge, go do this. And then you're stuck going,
right.
how do I do this, right?
right?
And you're trying to lead your peers. So you were just having to follow someone. Now you have to lead. And it's back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it's this, you know, I don't want to say a ping pong game, but you have to be able to do that with like a light switch,
right.
and not hiccup, because if you do, those are when you stumble and ultimately might fail on something and
sure.
have to
That's
get
That's when
pick
you
up.
Get boned.
Right? right.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent. I think maybe do I have one more question here? Hopefully this will be a good one, and perhaps we'll end on that. What has been your most difficult decision you've had to make as a leader?
I've had to fire a chief, a platoon chief of mine. Basically, I ended his career. I had plenty of awards for different combat missions and mm-hmm. things like that,
right.
and I had to fire him. He just wasn't living up to what I was expecting, what my platoon was expecting from a chief. And, you know, that was difficult. For SEAL community, your platoon chief or a platoon commander, if you don't do those jobs and you don't do them well and go past them, I mean, it's a headshot. You're basically,
yeah.
your career is done. You're not going to advance past those. You might not even make rank next time.
The stakes are super high. Right, in those situations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's why, I mean, they're the milestone. That's your first milestone. As an officer, it's your real first milestone mark, because if you don't pass platoon commander, you're never going to make command,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're only a lieutenant at the time.
Right.
So you're 4 years or so into the military, and, you know, you potentially are leading, you know, 16 to 20, 21-ish guys, and your platoon chief is towards maybe the end of his career, you know, 15 to, you know,
sure.
you know, 12 to 15 years somewhere in. So he's obviously older and more wiser than you are. But that position for him, again, is his milestone to, if he ever wants to be command master chief or anything, you know, I mean, that could hinge on him even getting a retirement.
Right.
So.
Right. So a lot of thought went into that, I take it.
Yeah, a lot of consulting with other leadership and
sure,
others.
So. Right. So, I mean, that's also another good practice, right, in terms of being a leader is talking to your other leaders.
You know, there's...
Giving advice.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, great. I really appreciate it. Do you have anything to say to cadets? Maybe a little advice on how to get through the next few months?
I wouldn't have gotten into VMI if it wasn't for the help of alum. You know, and we were just talking about this in one of the workshops we were in, is, you know, how to get and how cadets start tapping into the VMI alumni network early and on often. Right. And it is relationships. It is getting into them. It's not, you know, there's not any crazy like secret handshakes you have to do or anything like that. It's simply just having a conversation with a few people, extending that, you know, that invite to something, or maybe, you know, accepting an invite to something, yeah, and starting that conversation, because that network is extremely powerful. And when leveraged properly, it's, right, it allows you to have exponential growth in anything you ever want to do. It's just, you have to put some time into that, and that time is really minuscule compared to the return that you get back.
Wow. Powerful. Great.
Yep.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. No, thank you.
The Center for Leadership and Ethics would like to thank the following: Cadet Caleb Minus, Class of 2020, for the intro and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page at MinusOfficial, M-Y-N-U-S, official. Colonel David Gray, United States Army retired, director of the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics. And of course, as always, our podcast guests. Find this podcast and other Center for Leadership and Ethics programming information on the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website, or try our YouTube channel. Follow the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram accounts. See you next episode of The Journey. Thanks for tuning in.